We can choose our mindset whenever we get out of bed in the morning, whenever we encounter a challenge as leaders. We can choose our mindset. Not everyone will lose their job, only the ones who do not start using AI. Hello and welcome, dear Lightwolf listener. It's my huge pleasure to welcome you today to the Leadership Lessons 2024, my very personal highlights about the lessons I learned about bad and great leadership in 2024. Let's start with the power of mindset. Some people think that what we think is happening to us. I respectfully but strongly disagree with that. The two most precious moments that reminded me of this were when I was listening to a podcast myself that a good friend of mine brought into my life. It's the Tim Ferriss Show in the United States, and it's a very special podcast that I listened to. It's a podcast with Hugh Jackman, a gentleman who I really admire for his skills as an actor, as a musical performer. And we've seen him a few months later in London live performing a fantastic musical. And his podcast included many life lessons. It was so fascinating that I listened to the whole podcast twice from start to finish. And one of the profound sentences I remember hearing Hugh Jackman say was, "We are not subject of or object to our thoughts. I choose my thoughts." Full stop. And I think that's a powerful thing that just was highlighted in importance a couple of times throughout my year 2024. We can choose our mindset whenever we get out of bed in the morning, whenever we encounter a challenge as leaders. We can choose our mindset. The second time this year that I was getting more aware of my own mindset, when I participated in a very lively, super energetic event in Cologne this year, September 2024. I spent almost 4 days in the event. I had seen Tony Robbins on videos for about 7 years. I was part of his outstanding marketing and sales funnel channel and communication system for years. I already had seen him live in a video a couple of times here on my laptop. But then finally, I decided when I saw he's coming to Europe that I would be there as well. And yes, I think it's always a question of your own personal preference in terms of leadership styles, learning preferences, cultural differences, to what extent you will like it, love it, leave it, I don't know. You will figure it out for yourself, but I am clear on myself. This was one of my absolute highlights 2024, experiencing Tony Robbins on stage in Cologne, seeing how he inspires 13,000 people in the arena and more than 1,000 on the Zoom screens all over the world was just absolutely inspiring to me. And I think the skill that I have never seen stronger in anyone, probably I have never seen as strong as in him, in anyone else, is the ability to feel, to think, and to identify self-limiting beliefs in other people. In other words, the things that limit their mind. Yeah? And this was fascinating to see how within a minute or maximum five, he feels, he thinks, he spots, he nails the self-limiting beliefs in others. One of my highlights in 2024, Tony Robbins. If you consider going, if you haven't been, I strongly recommend invest the time, invest the money. This experience is worth it. So that's two experiences that sensitized me again for the power of mindset and for the ability for you, for me, for everyone to choose our mindsets every morning. The second highlight of the year for me was two outstanding clients, especially and specifically in the C-suite, the general managers, the CEOs, in dealing with toxic bosses. These two boards, these two C-suites, and in both cases, I know either all of them or I know a significant share of them. They were led by narcissistic, egocentric, toxic leaders of their boards. And what all too often happens is that the wrong thing happens. The wrong people stay. And in these particular cases, in both cases, over months and months of process, progress, and probably some sleepless nights, these CEOs and their leadership teams managed to cut off the power base of those narcissistic chair leaders, board leaders, and managed ultimately to find a way how they stepped down. This was leadership par excellence. They were not giving up. They did not have the formal authority or the power. It was a level above them. But they managed to cooperate with like-minded leaders to unite on principles. What's the right thing to do? They united forces and they ensured that the right thing got done. And if you're listening now, guys, you know I'm talking about you. My big shout out to you. You've done the right thing. And it just encourages everyone on this call again that many times, if you sustain the pain, if you're doing what's right, not what's popular, and if you're uniting a strong force around the right cause, the right thing will happen at the end of the day. Then change from within. Another highlight of my year 2024 was in September this year, when I was invited to travel to Central Europe and new lead for us, which now is a client of my company. And the question was, Stefan and team, what do we need to do to advance the leadership culture to one that is fit for purpose in 2030? In brackets, it's now 2024. So I love the challenge. I love the question. And that's what my team and I do most effectively and most frequently is leadership transformations from A to Z. Typically takes 3 years and then you don't recognize your company anymore because you have much better leadership 3 years later. And being in that company, we had scheduled the conversation to last for 3 hours. It lasted 5.5 and I was very glad. The CEO of that business, halfway through the conversation, asks, "Hey, by the way, where is Marion?" "Not sure. She wasn't invited." And then he went out and got Marion in. And then I just briefly shared the essence of our leadership transformation model, all the way from role models, purpose, development, and to consistency by measuring and rewarding consistent leadership. She just nodded her head and said, "Mr. Hohmeister, this is exactly the change that our organization needs. I've been here now for a couple of years, but what you just described, I think has a high chance of finally getting us to consistency, i.e. to doing the right thing and not the convenient thing, to getting to the right level of consistency, even if consistency is uncomfortable. Second, there is a high chance this will lead to a situation where juniors like me are taken seriously by more experienced leaders. And three, I hope this finally leads to real listening instead of pretending to listen and then ending a conversation with a middle manager like me with the words, yeah, Marion, we've heard this, I hear you, but we have never done things that way around here, unquote. Right? And now I'm talking again, me, Stefan. I was so amazed by that woman sharing and nailing so precisely what's holding them back, what's holding this culture back, this leadership culture back, and what's preventing every single one in the company from really performing to the utmost of their abilities. So I'm so grateful for her to have said that in that moment, because that core thinking is now the core of the transformation that this client and my team will now run for the next 3 years to come. She was one of my highlights. This was a highlight for change from within. Another highlight for me is an attitude that I probably now changed for good and forever, which is resistance to change. When I was a young leader, a young manager, an intern in my first couple of roles in the corporate world, in the business world, I thought, when you're changing something and there is resistance, oh, that's bad because people don't like it and people don't want it. Yeah? So when young, I thought resistance to change is a bad thing. Now I'm laughing at myself because I've changed my thinking completely. In the meantime, I think resistance to change is good. It's normal. It's to be expected because change is uncomfortable. And when people wake up to the change and are not the change agents who lead the pack, and maybe not even the followers, but the laggards who prefer not to change, then they are waking up and they are resisting. And that means that we are changing. In the meantime, I'm only getting nervous when there is no resistance to change, because that might mean that we are not changing anything, or that the change has been declared, but no one listened and no one understands. So resistance to change is not bad, but good. Another highlight of the year to me is, I would say, the maturation of my attitude to artificial intelligence. Some people think, oh, AI is going to kill my job. And is there a little risk? Maybe. But, you know, AI has been around for a long, long time. If you're using face recognition on your smartphone, this has been powered by AI for years. If you're using a text program that either corrects your typos or completes your sentences, well, voila. That's AI at its best since more than a decade. So AI has been around for quite a long time. But it's only now, with the arrival of large language models and fantastic tools like, for example, ChatGPT or Perplexity.ai, that we suddenly get much more access to AI and we use it more frequently. And yes, I am convinced that the AI revolution will be the fastest that mankind has ever seen. The industrialization lasted a century, 3 generations. The digitalization lasted 1 generation, maybe 3 decades. The AIification will be completed within 8 to 10 years. So it's arguably the fastest ever change or revolution in the workplace that mankind has seen so far. It accelerates change. But no, it's not new. And no, not everyone will lose their job. only the ones who do not start using AI, who refuse the tools, they might be at risk of maybe losing their own jobs. But if we start using it, if we start learning it, then I think all of us will have a job once AI has become a daily norm. Another one that just is a red thread through my year 2024 is the power of connecting. When you already worked with me in a Lightwolf leadership program, for example, or in a strategy development program, then you know that in my perception, in my view, people want three things from you as a leader: orientation, motivation, and connection. And the power of connection is what I learned deeply and strongly again in 2024. I was lucky enough to connect someone who I highly appreciate, who has become a friend, who has been a fantastic product brain founder in the most successful fintech startup I know. And I've connected him to Daniel Dippold, a friend of mine, partner of mine in my second company, and founder of Evo, an outstanding network of tech startups. Just amazing. And by introducing them to each other and connecting a second time, they became partners and will now take that business to even higher levels. And I'm glad I could do a small contribution by just connecting two people with each other. I'm also able that I am connected to Evo, to this network. It's fascinating to see what those young tech startup entrepreneurs are thinking and doing and how they are working on making impact in the world that is GDP relevant. And some of them will be GDP relevant once their ventures unfolded full potential. Amazing. Yeah. Another example of connecting was just a month ago, maybe, because I'm co-founder of a second company, the New Now Group in Frankfurt and Vienna. We are an AI company that helps clients in some selected industries, particularly in marketing and sales, to use their data, their own data, in a more intelligent and ideally more automated way to take smarter business decisions that unleash value that's currently hidden in their data. And I was in Vienna together with Katja, our managing director, and together with Daniel, who dialed in virtually from Berlin, and I was there as well. And it was such a pleasure that by connecting us, we were able to earn this client's trust in one meeting so much that they honor us now with a couple of years of business that we will do together against a double-digit number of competitors that we were bitching against. It showed me again the power of connecting this superwoman Katja, this fantastic young tech entrepreneur Daniel, and me, much older, different experience, the power of connecting complementary skills around one goal led to a strong success. Another highlight was the power of teams. Several of our clients this year experienced a good to great team productivity program, which is a structured, data-based, sustained program, typically over 12 to 18 months, that either turns a group into a team or a team into a high-performance team. One of the highlights is that one of those clients in one of those programs in 2024 consistently improved results and performance across all six principles of high-performing teams across two big locations. And as a result of their work, that team is now much stronger and has many reasons to feel very proud of itself as a team and each other as their team members. That is the power of teams. Power of strategy. One of the key lessons I now learned in 2024 is the power of a winning strategy. In 2021, my team and I were invited to start supporting a client in the skincare industry. We supported with leadership assessments, individual coaching, leadership training, good to great team productivity, and strategy consulting on their biggest brand, by far biggest brand. Now, 3 years later, that the strategy development process is completed, they implemented it, and now we can see the lasting results. It's the leader of that entire business unit who shared with us a reference saying, guys, your team has been instrumental over the last 3.5 years to turn a business from low single-digit growth to mid double-digit growth, a business from $650 million sales at the beginning to more than $1.1 billion of sales 3 years later, and to a highly successful IPO, unquote. And this demonstrates to me the short, mid, and long-term power of a choiceful strategy that wins and that's consistently executed. And now it's a year behind project completion, and now the full effect is visible. A great team here in the heart of Europe. Another one of my highlights is even more awareness on the importance that you and I are taking in terms of attitude to time. More and more people feel more and more pressure in terms of time. The reason often is that more and more things, more and more priorities in their mind and in their day are competing for the same limited time. Because however often I apply to God for 48-hour days, because I love this life so much, equally often, I don't even get a response from God. It's 24 hours. That's it. So we can't change that, but we can change our attitude to time. On every single day where I manage to be aware of time being my most precious resource, because one day my life is going to be over. That time is my most precious resource. And very unfortunately, the only non-renewable resource. And that it's not happening to me, but it exists. It's mine, right? Your time belongs to you and to no one else. So have the courage to take that accountability for your time. Yeah? And have the courage to own your time and then treat your time like an investment. Invest it only into really essential things. I know what they are for me. I assume you know what it is for you. But reflect on your attitude to your time. It belongs to you and to no one else. The power of self-reflection. Just last week, I had just completed a wonderful 3 days Lightwolf program up in Oslo with a fantastic Norwegian leadership C-suite team. And in the morning after, I spent 3 hours from Oslo supporting three outstanding humans and wonderful leaders in Berlin, virtually. These three general managers spent 3 hours and they unleashed a load of value out of themselves and each other, based on a 360 degrees feedback leadership assessment, and then mutual, honest, specific feedback. Listening to each other, appreciating each other, being honest with each other, and supporting each other. One of them perceived execution as detail. And I went like, wow, why does he think this is detail? I understand somehow, but I'm not sure I agree. And then in our conversation, we both together found out that he has a different view on this. He didn't mean detail. He meant execution. And he doesn't like it. And he's much better at starting things, at putting people on fire for early big ideas. That's what he's great at. But he just doesn't like execution. He doesn't like finishing things, right? And in the conversation, he realized that it's not about detail, but it's about finishing. And only when you finish things into action, you can get results. No finishing, no action. No action, no results. As simple as that. And I think it made him stop, and it made me stop, and it makes me share this as a highlight of the year. Execution is not in detail. Execution is decisive, because only what you execute can be perceived by your clients. And only what they perceive can make an impact on their results and your results. Yeah. And that I linked to a statement from one of the probably 30, 35 CEOs that I've been working with this year. He once said, stop starting, start finishing. Fantastic. I love his quote. And it also reminded me of a DAX CEO that in the first half of the year, I had the pleasure to have a 1 hour meeting with. And among other things, we also discussed the essence of good leadership. And I shared my definition. And I said, you know, in my perception, the shortest essence of good leadership is strong willpower and strong humility. So people who are absolutely strong with their will to get the right thing done. And that coupled with sheer endless personal humility. Always subordinating the own ego interest to the bigger things and to serving others to make them successful. And it was very interesting for me to learn that he interpreted humble probably as soft, shy, or ducking away. That made me think. And that makes me ask a question now. Do you perceive being humble as being soft? Please take a moment to respond. Next highlight of the year, self-leadership. One of the patterns I re-recognized in 24 among successful teams, companies, and people is that they are not leading forward. They are not incrementally leading from the present forward. They are thinking breakthrough from the future backwards. Yeah? Reminds me of Edwin Moses, a fantastic 400 meters hurdles runner who over 11 years won 113 competitions uninterrupted, including Olympic Games, World Championships, you name it. And one of his secrets of success was to visualize success at the end of the race. And then as of the second he comes out of the blocks, to run against this visualized success in the end, rather than against your opposition or your short-term goals. So that's another thing I've seen again. The most successful people think from the future backwards rather than from the present forwards. And finally, I think what connects many of these lessons, these leadership lessons I learned or relearned in 2024 is how successful entrepreneurs think, decide, communicate, and lead, which I saw particularly strongly in March in the START Summit in St. Gallen. Thousands of young incoming entrepreneurs, some of them already outstandingly successful. All of it super inspiring. If you want inspiration on entrepreneurship, go visit START Summit in 2025 in St. Gallen. It's worth it. And here is what I learned from these folks. How do successful entrepreneurs think, decide, communicate, and lead? Think. They think essentialism. They don't ask themselves what's important or what's the most important. They ask themselves, what are the two essentials, the two most essential drivers of success? Decide. Eat the frog. They don't procrastinate and delay the difficult decisions to the very end. They advance those big decisions and they eat the frog early. The most uncomfortable, biggest decisions to be taken first. Eat the frog. 3, communicate. How do they communicate? They do not communicate with the sender orientation, sharing everything they know. They communicate with the recipient orientation. What are the few things the recipient needs to do what I want? And they do so with utmost relevance, precision, and brevity. They say things shortly. And how do they lead? With very strong willpower and huge humility. So these were my leadership lessons learned in 2025. And I say it with huge gratitude, which is the summary of the year. I truly feel grateful now. I feel grateful for my family. I have two young men, well on their way to becoming the men they want. I have a wonderful wife, a wonderful family. I'm grateful to my team that is doing outstanding work. We are growing fast this year and it's due to my team. And I'm grateful to our clients because they work with us in a way that's on eye level, that's partnership, and that delivers outstanding results for many of them. And I'm grateful for you as a member of our community, who help more and more to get closer and closer to our vision, a well-led world. And if all of this resonates with you, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Share your experiences in the comments or message me directly. Please subscribe to this Lightwolf podcast and rate it. It helps us to invite more and more leaders like yourself into our community. Thank you for tuning in to the Lightwolf podcast. See you soon. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.